said do.
Guten Morgen. I think I told you the last time I was here that the little boy was standing in the foyer of the church. He was looking at all these flags on the wall, and he was the last one there. The pastor came through and said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I was just looking at these flags on the wall here and photographs, and what does this mean?" The pastor said, "Well, son, these are people who died in the service." The little boy looked at him and said, "The 9:30 or the 11 o'clock service?" So the people in the small group were discussing the issues of passing away and life and all those issues. And so they said, "You know, none of us know when we're going to pass and all of this, but just suppose," that the team leader said, "just suppose that you only had 4 weeks to live. What would you do?" So she asked the first one, and he said, "You know, in my fondest dreams, I've always wanted to do a mission to Africa, so I just would buy a ticket and take off, and that'd be my last weeks on earth, and I would die feeling as if I were giving supreme sacrifice to the Lord." And so she asked this other lady, she said, "Oh, you know," she said, "I have wanted to just spend more time in intercession," and said, I would just quit my job and I would just spend the last 4 weeks of my life in intercession and worship and adoring the Lord." One of the guys was sitting there. He was kind of quiet. And she said, "What about you?" And he said, "I would go to my mother-in-law's." And they said, "Why in the world?" And he said, "Well, that would be the four longest weeks of my life." I never suffered that. I had a wonderful mother-in-law. She was precious, and my wife takes after her, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Today, I want to talk to you about a place that you've always wanted to see. How many of us here... From your earliest days, there's something that you've always wanted to do or a place you always wanted to go. Anybody? Just you may have never gotten there, but you I remember reading. I read a lot. I still read a lot. But when I was just a kid, I would read stories that originated or had some basis in the northern part of England, the Misty Moors, and Sherlock Holmes figures into some of that. And then some of the stories were set in Scotland and all of that. And I don't know, you know, I could surmise that maybe it's my 1/16th Scottish blood was, you know, being revived there. I just thought, boy, if there was a country I could ever like to go, it would be the country of Scotland. So Wiki and I had been married for a little while, and my mother-in-law just... you can tell she's very sweet. She said, "I want to take the family to England, Scotland." "Yeah, sure, fine." And I just secretly was just, wow, I was amazed. And so we went to England for a few days, and then we took the train to Scotland, and we were there. And one of our first days out, we were driving through the Highlands of Scotland. And true to form, as in the stories I'd read, it was misty, it was overcast. And our tour bus stopped, and there was this huge valley, and there was these mountains behind, and there was a mist falling, and out there on a rocky outcrop, there was a piper, and he was in full regalia, all the shawl, and he was piping out there, and that sound was just resounding through the valley and the mountains there. And I was the only one who got off the tour bus. I just stood there and cried like a baby. It was a place. And I told my mother, I said, "I've never asked for this." And I said, you have satisfied a secret desire of mine to come to Scotland. And here I am, and I could just stay here the rest of my life. Maybe you've had some place like that. I think that a lot of us, when we come to the Lord, we begin to read the stories about Jesus. And we see all of the wonderful things that he did. And maybe we have an example of a miracle here or a miracle there. We read about it somewhere in another nation or whatever, and there's something inside of us that would like to be a part of a miraculous atmosphere. In fact, if we hear of someone who seems to be especially gifted, gifts of healing, et cetera, working of miracles, we make it our business to go to a meeting where the Holy Spirit is operating through them. And it's so nice to talk to somebody who has experienced a miracle. Anybody ever talk to anybody that's experienced a miracle? Anybody? Anybody? Oh my God, I got my work cut out. Anybody here ever had a miracle yourself? You know that you are a miracle. I've seen that in my own life. When I was just an infant, I was destined to die. But prayers were made for me, and I'm big and alive today. So there is something that even after a lifetime of living in the Christian faith, living in a Spirit-filled, Pentecostal-style atmosphere, there are things that are just now dawning on me in a real sense that I should have known, I should have practiced a long time ago. So I would like to share these things with you, and I'd like to go to the Word of the Lord first as a foundation for what we're saying. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul says to this church in the city of Corinth, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So we're going to be talking about the supernatural side of us, that which exists outside natural methods, means, or the natural realm. It's above us. It's out. It is flowing from within us, but it is not. It is not birthed by my natural processes. And then Paul also said in the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 20, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." And I would like to, as we go along here, to give you four keys to walking in that supernatural. Here's something that we got to talk about first. As one, there are things on board in our life that we have to, since we've come to the Lord, we have to recognize that they're there. Have to recognize it. And then once we recognize it, we must do everything within our power to develop what we have recognized. Now, there are a lot of us, I guess one of the foremost things that comes to our mind when we come to the Lord, we're filled with His Spirit, is that there's a new niceness about us. Somebody said, "Boy, when I got saved, I loved everybody. I'd love a fence post that had a hat and coat on. I mean, I was just out there. I loved people that I used to despise and hate." Why is that? It's because our nature was changed. It was transformed. Jesus came in, and His nature has begun to dominate our natural, carnal nature. In fact, the Bible says the old man has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So the first thing is the love of God, and then there is joy, and then all of a sudden, pardon me, there is peace. And then all of a sudden, I'm beginning to practice long-suffering and gentleness and goodness with people, and all of a sudden, I'm having faith toward God, and I have a meek nature, and I am practicing temperance in everything. So the first thing that comes to our mind when we think about a Christian is they start being nice. I have my amen radar is tuned, but I'm not picking up any signals. Did you know that nothing happens until you say something? When you say amen, it does something. You know what it says? It says, let it be so. So you want to be nice? Say amen. Ah, wunderbar. That's the first thing, but nobody, it's like we stop there, because there's really two sides to what happens to us when we come to the Lord and are changed. One is His grace. Grace says, come to us. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness. Faith, meekness, and temperance. Nine fruit of the Spirit are there. But no one ever tells us that the nine gifts or evidences of the supernatural are to be there. And it would seem that we would wake up to, hey, I had very little to do with the graces or the fruit of the Spirit being born in my life. I should know that that happens supernaturally. So why should I doubt about these others? Why should I draw back from the nine gifts of the Spirit? The supernatural evidences. And the nine gifts of the Spirit can be divided into three places. And they evidence His mind, what He knows. They evidence His speaking, what He says. And they evidence His doing, the works of miracles, the gift of faith. So I should come to the realization that if He deposited the fruit of the Spirit in my life, I should come to the realization that His power and His presence are there also. Wow. But it's like when we get past the fruit of the Spirit, we back up, because the nine gifts of the Spirit are relegated only to an apostolic echelon in the earth, a level of ministry that I perhaps will never attain to. So what I must do is become a mutual admiration society for all of those so gifted. Come on. My childhood pastor was a man very gifted in the Spirit. The dead were raised. Miracles, signs, and wonders happened. And really, when he left our hometown to go to where he has pastored since then, it was really just an admiration society that gathered around him. Everybody kept his phone call on hand, phone number on hand, because you never know, we'll need one of these power prayers to go forth. Not realizing that every one of us had the same power in us, latent, undeveloped, but the same. How about that? That's tremendously encouraging. And yet it's hard for us to embrace, because you know, it's off-putting, and you know, what if I mistake? Well, yeah, hey, has your love walk ever had a failure? In traffic, maybe? Every time I go to Walmart, I have to practice my love walk. Those people that stand with their basket crossways of the aisle with about nine kids, and they're sitting there looking like they're looking at the Grand Canyon or something. Excuse me, I'd like to go around or through or over. And the crazy thing about it is every aisle, it's not just one. I come around, next aisle, here's another one. This is not your store, okay? It's all of us come here. So I have to pray in tongues and clap my hands and say, thank you, Jesus, Lord God, for the love, joy, and peace of the Holy Ghost that's inside of me right now. Let it be built up. Let it be strong right now. Huh? So if I can fail in my love walk, then I can fail in my supernatural power walk, can I? But that's what failures, you know, a D on a deal means study more. Right? An F means you need to study. Doesn't mean that you weren't supposed to make an A. It just means study. It doesn't mean that this class wasn't for you. It means for you to study. Study, Paul told Timothy, to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Is that all right? So, let's talk about these four steps. I've got till lunchtime, don't I? We just covered this, but just for the sake of your notes, the first thing is become aware. Become aware. How can I become aware of what belongs to me? Well, I've just spent a few minutes telling you. I've told you that it is for you. Become aware. How do I do that? The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth again. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts. He told the church that. He was not addressing the hierarchy of the church. He was not addressing his fellow apostles. He was talking to the lay people, the members of the church. You covet earnestly the best gifts. And you say, well, ooh, that throws me right there. What is the best gift? When you begin to study and break that down, it means covet the gifts to a greater degree than you ever have before. Covet the gifts to a greater degree. I think that all of us are in a position that when we begin to think about the supernatural giftings of God, the power that flows in us and should flow through us, that we will have a predisposition toward a set of gifts. There are some people that the Holy Ghost is going to give you supernatural knowledge of things that are going on. Come on. There's others who have supernatural words to speak. Others will have supernatural works of the Spirit. I know of one great lady that I knew years ago, and she just spent time in the Spirit. She just spent her days in the Spirit, and she would come out into the church services, and when she would minister, miracles happened. Miracles, miracles, miracles. My own mother had several miscarriages, wanting another child. And this lady told her, she said, you will have another child, and that child will be a son. My brother lives in New Braunfels. He's a bit younger than me, but he was born because the word of the Lord, a supernatural word, came to her. And in that supernatural word, things happen. This stuff doesn't just happen onesie-twosie by themselves. They're all wired together. They're all integrated. So you can give a word to somebody and healing can go forth in their body. You can pray for somebody, their healing and other things begin to happen. It is all connected together because it's one God. And He's wanting to operate through us. And later on, that lady, someone came to her and gave her a little booklet about the gifts of the Spirit, the power demonstrations of the Spirit. And she said, now I know what I've been doing. But you don't have to know specifically and explicitly what you are doing, because the closer you are to the Lord and the more intertwined you are with Him in His presence, His nature flows, and you'll have to say, one minute, word of knowledge here. One moment here, working of miracles. Told a little group earlier today that there are things that I do. My dad will walk along, and when he was in a store and kind of killing time, he'd kind of kick his heel like that. And I remember him doing that. I thought, well, what's he doing, you know? And I was walking the store the other day, and Dad's been dead since 92. But there's some little squirrely things that are woven into me called DNA. I don't understand that. I never practiced. I've practiced doing people before. But I've never practiced doing that because I thought, well, that's kind of stupid. So I thought, okay, dummy, why are you doing that? Well, it's just Dad. Come on, just somehow absorb that. When you come into Him and He is into you and you spend more and more time desiring these things, guess what? All of a sudden, healing come out of you. You shake hands with somebody and they go, ah, what was that? My pain is gone. How many would like something like that? Come on. And they call you Pastor Shazam, man, because when you shake hands with them, woo, stuff happens. Amen? So the first thing is become aware. Become aware. The second key is this, is believe correctly. Believe that this supernatural power is not, you're not begging it to come to you or begging it to be developed within you, because now you've recognized that it's there. Acts 1 and 8 said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Mark 16, 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. Huh? Well, you say, I believe and no signs follow me. Well, check it out. Go ask questions. Get in class. Tell the Holy Spirit, I'm here to learn. What's the deal? He may not specifically say words to you, but if you stay there long enough, all of a sudden something is developing on the inside of you. Come on. I once went before the Lord. I said, Lord, I need to speak out by the Spirit. I'm tired of just being me and clever little things and little funnies and stuff. I'm tired of that. I want there to be a prophetic utterance to come out of me. You know how bad I wanted it? I waited on my knees for 6 hours. 6 hours I stayed there. What do you say when you're there for 6 hours? I didn't say anything but hallelujah maybe 4 or 5 times in 6 hours. But I had a specific goal. I had a focus that I was there for. And you know, toward the end of that 6 hours, I felt something. See, we're always looking for a feeling. Feelings are secondary. The knowledge that it is there. You know, I'm sure there's plugs around here and stuff. I don't have to get a paperclip and go see if the power's there. It's highly ill-advised to do that. You just trust that if there's a plug, there's power. I don't have to have feelings. Right? So when you get the Holy Spirit, the power's there. Undeveloped, perhaps. But you start walking it out, walking it out, walking it out, walking it out. Bodybuilder that I am, I understand that it takes time. Lift that fork. Lift that fork. I really concentrate on my abs. That's where I work the most. Woo! Getting these pants fast today was a job. I tell you, that took some upper muscles. So the power is there. You believe. Number two, believe correctly. James 5:14, is any sick among you? Call the elders of the church. Anoint the wall. Prayer of faith shall save the sick. Third thing is this. We must pursue it diligently. Pursue it diligently. I think the problem with a lot of us is that we don't really know what we need the most of. And so therefore we come with 63 requests in our daily prayer. Lord, you know the washing machine has really been off. The dryer's not drying like it should. Sally's been kind of miffed at me lately. You get my drift. And then, I got that checked off. Let me go on my way. But if you really need something, you pursue it diligently. You hunger for it. You desire it. So, well, I've done that before. Nothing happened. Sometime you get to the end of you'll go beyond your hunger. But that desire, that tenacious desire to have Jesus Christ manifest through you, not just in sweetness and niceness, but in power and glory. Amen. So I pursue it with diligence. I study this. I look at this. I wait before Him. It's okay to tell Him, Father, I don't know what else to say to you. I'm just here with my desire. Desire is a powerful thing in the Spirit. In Nazareth, he could not do mighty works there because, first of all, they thought, hey, he's just a kid from around here. But the second thing, There was no desire. The violent, the Bible said, the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It has to be an aggressiveness. You study in the scriptures, and you'll see that every great person of God was a person of aggressiveness. It doesn't mean that they were perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And you cannot wait until you think you are perfect before you begin to demonstrate this other side of Jesus, the power side, the glory side. Because none of us are going to be perfect this side of heaven. We are made perfect by Him. So I may work a miracle and still hate somebody. My miracle may not be as perfect as I like, but I can work on this. I can get them all activated together, pursued diligently. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, Hebrews 13:8. He that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. A lot of us have learned to live comfortably with our deficiencies. Let me see if this side's any warmer. A lot of us have learned to live comfortably with our deficiencies. Right? This ab development is my problem. It's not the restaurant, it's not Wiki's problem, it's my problem. And I get around fried chicken, man, I fall in love. You understand what I'm saying? The final key is this, number four, is partner willingly. The Holy Spirit is not going to do something without there being an invitation and a participation of the natural realm. We have to partner with Him. Mark 16:20. They went forth everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. In Acts the 9th chapter, verse 33 through 35, there was a man named Aeneas who had been crippled for eight years. And the disciples came there and ministered healing to him, and he got up. And as a result of that, all of that region came to the Lord. How would you like something like that to happen? Some of us have read about awakenings and power displays in communities where every tavern, every disco, I don't even know if I'm using correct terms, every dance place, every place of ill repute was shut down because there was such a demonstration and a reception of the glory and the power of God, which is available now, today, not tomorrow, not when you get perfect, not when you think you've elevated yourself somewhere. It's now. So whatever the Spirit of God puts into your mind, you say, how does it happen? How does it? I was raised around these supernatural moves of the Spirit and all like that, and yet no one could ever articulate to me that my ears would wiggle when the Spirit was coming. Didn't say that. Or my forehead would start to slip and slide. Because the Holy Spirit is going to manifest differently through everybody. Just like you don't look the same as someone else. There are distinct differences, and there will be distinct operations of the Spirit of God. There'll be different ways that He operates. I heard one time this elderly minister, that everybody, every church that heard of him wanted him for a revival. And they had a bunch of hard noses that would not submit to the Lord. And he'd get there, and they said the service would be dry. Have y'all ever been to a dry service? I hate dry services. Ugh, that's the ones that die in the 9:30 or 11 o'clock service. That, And he'd preach his message, and it would be, there wouldn't be a breath of the Holy Spirit. He'd back up and just start dancing. And while he was dancing, the altars would fill up. The hardened would become convicted of their sins and would come running to give their heart to Jesus. But if I did that, why, I'd be a fool. Why? Because that was the demonstration of the Spirit through him. I knew one great man of God that every time he'd minister the power of the Spirit, he'd fall down, boom. You're supposed to have the other fellow fall down, not you. But he'd fall down like a tree sawed down. Boom, bam. But when he did, they got what they needed. The thing about it is I'm so hungry. Is anybody hungry? I've got to have it, Jesus. And I guarantee you there will not be anyone who can disciple you through the intricacies of how it will happen. But he will carry you there. He will take you there. I'm 13 seconds in deficit right now. I remember going to a meeting, and the Spirit had spoken through me on several occasions, and I close with this. And so the man headed the meeting, he said, okay, everybody stand up. And so we all stood up, and he said, we're going to pray in the Spirit for 30 seconds, then we're going to be quiet for 30 seconds, and then you all are going to turn around, and you're going to minister the words of the Lord that he gave to you for that person sitting behind you. And I thought, wow, boy, I'm glad I don't know anybody here. You know, because I could flop and I'm gone, okay? So we all stood up, and it just so happened that the person that turned around in front of me was a lady. And of course, being the gentleman I am, I asked her to go first. So she began to share with me, and I thought, oh my Lord, this is incredible. And this is just, you know, this is just a regular lady. She didn't have her hair spiked and 9 shades of, you know. It was just a lady, just a plain lady. And she was speaking truth. I knew. I had one friend with me. He hadn't talked to her. Holy Spirit was doing that. Come on. And then it was my turn. Jesus. I didn't have 3 days to fast, Lord. Let me go get a hold of God. Yo, let me go pray a little while first. No. And I stood there, and I took her by the hands. He said, what was going on? You start learning to let this inner man breathe. Let him breathe. Let him. And I can't remember what I told her now, but I began to say, there were pictures. It's like a film running through my mind. And I said, this, that, and the other. And she stood weeping. Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I thought, before, in my Pentecostal background, boy, you had to be. And then you might get to do something. Fast 3 days, a week, 21. And then you give one little word. And you think, God's out of words, man. It's over with. Another 21 day. You die living like that. He wants us to be walking along and I'm kicking my heel because that's what my daddy did. Somebody comes up to you and says, Pastor, call me one time. I said I was going to close. I didn't mean it. pastor called me. He said, you missed a lady in our church. And I was already gone. You missed a lady in our church. And she was wondering if the Lord has spoken anything to you about her. And I said, well, what's the deal? He said, well, she has a job, but she is thinking about quitting that job and going to school, but she's concerned about losing the income from that job. There's a chance that she could get some support, a grant or whatever. While he was speaking, a picture came into my mind. And I saw a textbook and I saw a hand fanning that textbook, and every one of the pages was money. And I said, all I can tell you is that I see a textbook and every page is money. He said, she'll go with that. She left, started going to school, and was receiving more income than she had working on the job. Come on. Holy Spirit, words. He wants to speak. Come on. I ministered to people. I said, I'm just going to touch you with my finger. Bam! And the power of God hit that. Woo! They said, Jesus, have mercy. Other times it was gradual. Other times it was slowly. But hey, I believe it is inside of me. And it's inside of you. And he wants to manifest it starting right now. Let's stand together.